Seconded by Paul. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Okay, so we hereby open up to the public hearing for a tax cap limit to the override for 2020. In the audience, we actually have no residents in attendance. And I haven't received any comments or concerns, not by email or any other fashion, so unless there's anyone that has any comments or concerns, I guess we'd seek a motion to close the public hearing.
A motion to close the public hearing.
Motion by Patrick, seconded by Don. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. So we can get ready for the regular meeting, I hope. So minutes will be accepted for September 7, 2021 town board meeting, September 15, 2021 town board committee meeting. Need a motion? Motion by Paul.
Second.
Seconded by Jared. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. First resolution we have is 91-2021, adoption of local law 2-2021. Whereas the town board's held a public hearing on Tuesday, October 5th, to hear comment and concerns regarding local law 2-2021 overriding the tax levy limit for fiscal year 2022. So therefore, we, the Catskill Town Board, hereby adopt local law 2-2021 overriding the tax cap limit for fiscal year 2022. I think that should read.
It does.
Motion.
Okay, motion.
Second.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Hey, Joe.
Hi.
Okay. Next one, we got an agreement. Like to get past the Leeds Jefferson Heights Sewer and Water Districts and the Village of Catskill with a services contract. The contract was in 2023. I believe it was a 10% increase in the fees over 2 years for the Leeds Jefferson Sewer District. And the only other change in there that the fee for to conduct a lateral inspection should be $75, and the previous lateral fee was $50 from the village. And with that, I'm looking for a motion to enter a contract with the Village of Catskill for the Jefferson Beach Sewer.
Motion.
Motion by Paul.
Second.
Second by Dawn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those who put in Patrick abstained. Motion so carried. On those lines, as far as the laterals, we can just go off base a little bit. In talking with our code, you know, Matt Carlisle, he's willing to do some of the inspections now for the lateral hookup to the sewer district. I think it might bring us full circle a little bit easier to close out permits instead of having the village actually do those. So unless it can be different, we'll proceed that way as much as possible and only use the village on an as-needed basis. I think it's just going to serve us and the residents in a better way. And down the road, right now we're not charging fees for that, so we might want to look at actually charging a fee for doing it. Okay, next one we got is George June, board members, town clerk, part-time positions. In order to maintain a level of operational readiness, it is in the best interest of the ambulance service to hire additional part-time EMTs and paramedics to shore up our staffing. I am recommending to the board the following applicants to be appointed to a part-time position. These candidates have completed and passed pre-employment physical drug testing and background checks. The first one we have is Jacob Howe, EMT, and the second one we have David Kuhlman for a paramedic. These appointments will be effective on October 10th, 2021.
Motion
by Patrick. Seconded by Don. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried.
Thank you.
Next one we have is a rental agreement between Green County Unit Services, we're called the DHS, and the town of Catskill, here we're called the town, for a term of January 1, 2022 through December 31st, 2022. So it's a year agreement for the Barbara Antonelli Senior Center, Academy Street, and without going into a lot of details, I'm sure there's still a clause in there we're not active
Page, it's paragraph three on the first.
Paragraph three?
Yeah, under.
Question.
Second, and then right after that.
Okay. So it's basically the same contract that we've had.
Motion.
Second. So Jared, second by Patrick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. George had a couple of resolutions that he wanted to move a couple of applicants to full-time positions. That was kind of a late email.
You just hired?
Part-time, but now he wants to move a couple up to full-time.
I can't access email on my phone. It's not working, so.
I am recommending the board that Doug Bauer, a part-time paramedic, be appointed full-time paramedic position. And a part-time AEMT, Amanda
Ryan,
be appointed a full-time AEMT. These appointments will take effect November 1st, 2020.
Do I make a motion? I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Like I said, we had the two retirements or resignations and promotions and stuff, so there's room on the roster for those. Okay, next one, we got correspondence letter from Green County Acting Clerk submittal adopting the budget no later than November 22, 2021. Green County resolution wording the bid for abrasive use in snow and ice control buffer resin chargebacks and assessments and materials. Next one, we got is New York State Public Service notification designating the week of Labor Day as National Telephone Discount Awareness. Information regarding the program is available at ASPSC.com. The next one I thought was interesting. I don't know if we can do something on our webpage. New York State Public Service conducting an online broadband survey at EmpireStateBroadband.com.
Don't they realize that people don't have any broadband, they can't do their survey?
If we have no broadband, we can't do the survey. Right. If we don't have that, it's
not to their madness.
Yeah, right. But I think, I believe Green County had that posted where you can tag, and I couldn't find that link, otherwise I was going to.
They took it down.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're done with their survey.
They're with their survey, but this one's from the state. I thought they had that one too, but anyway, if they didn't, again, I think you can get into that program a little bit and it'll actually test your speeds and then they record the speed of your uploads, downloads, and such like that. All right, notice of ISO changes for handover insurance for Moline crime policy. Sure about that, but we do have a couple other ones. That's the next one. Letter from Russ Craven, Insurance and Service, regarding scheduling of time to meet with Fire Chief Tommy McCullough to review records and Water Superintendent Bob Young to review the water flow procedures and determining the property insured premium classifications for said district. The last review was in 2014. I think that's coming up in the date's not October. Russ Craven.
He wants to meet on Monday, October 25th with Bob Young.
For the lead host.
And the 27th with the fire chief.
Right. So they're doing village department, and they're also doing leads. Then a letter from Rebecca Presser from Columbia Union Community College, thanking the town for participating in the summer youth employment and training program this year. Green IDA regarding the Champlain Hudson Power Expressway deviation notice for public hearing, which is going to be October 13th at 6 p.m. via Zoom. I believe that's on our town webpage as well, but it's quite a long packet. It's online now, but I gave you just the highlights for Catskill with pilots and such like that. Letter from Doyle Security updating emergency response contact information for town office buildings. Put that out to everybody. I guess if you know you're going to have an alarm activation that was in error set out in the police, you can actually text a number back so you don't have to have the police respond.
They still do. Trust me. They still, no matter what, they still respond.
No, because when they call me, they ask me if I want to send the police again.
Every time the senior center one goes off.
Yeah.
Anytime my alarm goes off, I call them and say it's not an emergency. Well, we still have to dispatch the fire department. Fair contract?
Yep.
Not for fire alarm?
Well, yeah.
And then racing outside the freezing cold until the fire chief says it's okay to go back in?
No, we don't leave the building.
And the next one, we have an invitation for the annual Greene County Honor of Veterans Ceremony, November 6th at 10 a.m. at the Catskill Point Warehouse. Yes, it's out there. Tommy, I think they're going to honor Tommy and Teresa this year at Greene County. So we got an invitation. I mean, we, as a group, we can do a presentation if we like, so that's something to think about before then if we want to come up with a citation or something to present. Something to think about, but not for a very long period of time, because before you know it, 11-6 will be here.
Happy Christmas lights.
And we also got an invitation, I believe, for the on Veterans Day for a panel of those old honor ceremony at the, which I believe that money just came today by email. Solutions from the Burge Group for grant funding, and maybe get those type of solicitations from other vendors, always looking to help the Catskill and their business, but it's, you know, it's always nice to have those people out there. Okay, continuing business agreement with the town of Athens for basic life support, and that's continuing. And it's just, I mean, like we got a good number. It's just a matter of, I believe, you know, the Athens board coming together and signing that contract. But you know, the numbers were what we agreed on. It was 109 or 110. So that's, you know, I think we're very good on the number. Just a matter of up over the hill and get it signed. Agreement with the Village of Catskill for contract services with the sewer and water districts, which we just had a resolution on that for a 2-year agreement. New business presentation for the 2022 tentative budget and scheduling workshop meetings. We did throw out some dates out there for what we want. You weren't available on the 12th, right, Paul? So I mean, everybody, if they want to check their calendars, I was thinking, you know, like 10-13, 10-14, 10-19, and then the 20th is our normal meeting. So anything that we didn't have wrapped up, why then we could wrap it up on the 20th. In speaking with George, he's available, you know, from our ambulance building and services. He's available on the 13th and the 20th. So we might want to get George in, you know, we should get him on the 13th for sure. And, you know, that I could invite him. You know, he would be willing to come into some of the meetings.
So we're doing 13, 14, 19, and 20?
Correct.
So you want to do, you want to see if Sean can do Sean and Jack on the 14th? Should you write talk to him?
I did. I didn't. I mean, I talked to both of them a little bit, but not about these dates or anything like that.
So say that again?
13.
14.
14 probably for highway. I mean, it's probably too much to do you know, bigger departments on the same night, unless you want to try it. 19th.
Do you want to try doing both on the 13th?
Yeah, let's see. I'm okay. I mean, if we did enough groundwork ahead of time, I mean, it would be nice not to have to hash it.
Right.
You know, if everybody's talked to their department heads, we kind of know what we're doing with this budget. I don't think, you know, really need to.
So you want to see if they're available?
Yeah, let's try that out. See if, you know. Worst case scenario, if everybody gets fatigued and tired and we get worn out, then we go home and we can invite them back for another
time.
I think we should do those normally at 6:30, right?
6:30. Or 6. Or 6.
You want to start
six
at 6?
Let's
see.
Yeah.
I'm at one available.
Yeah, I'll be like 5 minutes.
No, let's shoot for 6 o'clock then.
That's
why
we're not here until 9:30.
Liz, you going to send out reminders?
Yes.
Listen to that.
Text message.
No, say no. No.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello. How about the with that public hearing for that Leeds situation? Not that kind of fell through for now, Liz?
They would like to schedule it for October 27th at 6:30.
October 27th. It's a Thursday.
I mean, I'm good most days. I mean, if we're going to have our budget stuff, then we could probably do that at the Leeds Fire Department if they want. Unless you want guys to prefer to have it.
Sure, they've been doing this before our budget.
We've been.
It's been painful.
We've been steadily trying to get to where we wanted to be for probably 6 to 8 weeks now, I think, maybe. But we can talk about that too. I mean, you know, but anyway. But let's get that. We have to make that motion tonight. Does it give all?
Yes.
We have enough time. What figures are we on?
I do have a budget number that I sent, you know, that Excel sheet that's what they're asking for.
Yeah, I don't agree with it.
So
I don't agree with it either.
Let me just find it and I'll read it and then.
I can tell a little bit about it.
Dawn, do you want to send that down to Patrick if he needs it?
So
I can tell you it's going to start. Right now we're at 145, I believe.
No, right now we're at 108.
Right, well, combined.
Right.
Okay. And combined, we're 145-ish. They're going to start out at 194, and then they got 5% increments on that, you know, escalators every year. So they want to end the contract at 236,404.
Yeah, but they want to go from 108 this year to next year 146,000 from the town council.
Right. They want basically. Almost a $50,000 bump, which is
that's combined. That's
not
combined.
Yeah, no,
that's
not.
The town of Athens is not.
No.
The town of Athens is going from 36,000 to 48.
Right.
The town of Catskill 108 to 146 is what they're requesting. So
we can make it early.
I know time's ticking. We gotta get this done, and I've been asking them for months now for these figures and to have another meeting. We only have one meeting with them.
One meeting, and then just finalize these numbers, I would say. I think I got them over the weekend, like Saturday or Sunday.
Even
or maybe Monday.
Even once a year, we're going from 108 and was proposed for
right.
132.
Right.
That's a big jump.
It is.
18.54% increase in 1 year.
How about does this say 18 or maybe 28?
This is 18.54.
Okay.
That's too much.
That brings them up to one. That brings them to one. The number that's in there, that's starting them out at 176,991. And then, total.
Right, with Athens.
With Athens in there from 145, so they're talking that would be like 30, that's a 31,000 up increase. But I mean, they did go 10 years
right
without getting a raise, which,
yeah, but they can't expect us to make it up in 5 years if they're going 10 years without.
This is why we should have more than one meeting with them. And
I gotta guess,
we try.
I think the meetings are, you know, it's not. I think they have to come in with a realistic number that they think they can make it. I mean, I don't want to get into this thing as a back and forth. I mean, what's
well, also the thing they said, they're using the money they sold the truck.
Right now, they're working some of that money off to make ends meet. That's what I was told. You know, that the money from the proceeds, they sold the truck for like around $100,000, and then they've been using some of that money to pay the truck.
But that shouldn't have been a breakdown of the budget.
That isn't the one that we got yesterday.
I mean, they were behind. If they got the normal, and I don't want to, because there's no such thing as normal, obviously, but if they ended up getting 2% over 10 years, in rough math, they would have had, you know, throughout the contract, $166,000 more cash flow. That doesn't mean, I think the big issue is, or one of the issues is, I'll say, well, we didn't get any raises for 10 years. That's all well and good. But the other side of the fence is, if you got the money, what would you do with it? And what's your due diligence as far as spending that taxpayer money, and how are you putting that to work for the residents within that district? You know, that's a
big. They're almost getting to the number that we pay the village of Catskill for private protection. And the village of Catskill has a much higher overall.
After this contract, it'd be higher.
Yeah.
But the village kids. I mean, I'm kind of using a little bit of a guide, and I'm like, Kiskatown and Pam will put out their budgets today.
Yep.
And right now, Kiskatown is around at 176, and they might be going into the one, in that 170, 180. So So I think that's, if Kiskaton can do it on that kind of number, you would assume or would think.
Well, the difference is Kiskaton's number doesn't count against our taxing.
Well, I mean, I think for me, counting against it is still, to me, what we're paying for is fire protection for the people out there, regardless of what that number is on the percentage to the taxpayer. I mean, you still have to give or contract with people enough money so they can put out a fire and have the equipment that they can do the job safely and efficiently. Regardless of what that number looks like on paper, I think we got to look at saying what's the real cost of doing business within that department and make sure that they're funded correctly.
They're trying to tell us.
And they did.
That's not realistic.
Right. So, but that's, they did.
Hamilton operates with $135,000,
they'd be less. Even when we have the public hearing, you can ask them. Well, I think one thing that I didn't see as much as in the Kiskaton budget, and maybe the other ones, I mean, they are trying, it looks like they're putting heavily, 20-some-odd thousand, if you look into that budget, into truck reserves. So, I mean, can we afford to do that, or can they afford to do that?
Yeah, they've got $30,000.
Going into the trucks. And I didn't see that in the other budgets, but it's something that I would like to ask the officers of the other companies or corporations of what they're doing to build that fund. And I don't know the answer to that. But, I mean, that's heavy. I think the other thing that I probably would want to look at in there is the workman's compensation. They got that up to $30,000, after a couple of years, and right now theirs is going down to $22,000. So that's an $8,000 swing.
Yeah, you got that $8,000 last week.
So that's $22,000. So that's $8,000 in there. So, that's, and if you take the truck fund out, can we really afford to put a truck fund in right out of
the... Well, the truck fund's not for the first year.
Right.
That starts in 2023.
So if you look at that, that's $30,000. I mean, so.
And I don't know if I'm okay with the 5-year contract either.
We can go. I mean, the thing is, we can go less. And I think but in those contracts, there's clauses, and just like when they wanted to get more money every August, if we're not happy with it,
right?
We can say, come on in, let's talk about this contract, and if we don't want to move forward, you could always. I don't know what the alternatives would be at this point, but and again, when we do contracts by general municipal law, we have to get their financials like we're doing now. But it's nothing wrong with saying we want to look at them every year. So every year, if we want to do our due diligence, we can say, I want to bring those financial papers in and see where you're standing and what's going on. And I think they are on the right track now as far as doing some better record keeping per se with the. So they can at least be ported. So what are we doing on the public hearing? Is it the 27th, as we talked about?
You said the 27th at 6 p.m.
Okay.
But then you said where?
Let's do it here.
Is that a joint vote?
It is. Athens requested to be here because we have more space.
It makes everything more difficult. It's orchestrated with the town. So 10:27?
We do that at the senior center?
No, the senior center has a village board meeting that evening.
We have more call.
We're doing at 6.
6 o'clock. Six. We need a motion for motion by Dawn. Seconded by Jared. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried.
I'm going to need the final figure for the notice of the public hearing.
I got that spreadsheet. I think, I don't know if I sent that to
146, 182.
Yeah, you can put whatever on there. It's not.
I mean, but we still need to change. But we still need a solid number before we go into it, before we finalize our budget.
Yeah, we won't be done with the budget.
Our budget's not. It's just a matter of filling in.
Our budget will be 99.9% finalized by that.
We're basically waiting on that number, is what we'll.
Don't forget that after your public hearing and before adoption of your final budget, you can make changes.
Right. Maybe that's like November 2nd or something. Possibly if it's not there. So we did the George June, we did the rental agreement for the Meals on Wheels, and we did the joint fire protection thing. So, I think we covered. covered everything we needed to cover as far as that goes. We talked about the sewer inspections going to the town a little bit. And when we get done with the public meeting, the public comments, I think we should, they're just for compensation packages and stuff. Maybe do an executive session with the town board and with the possibility of coming out. And also, I got a one personnel issue that we'd probably like to discuss and then come out after that and see if we want to act on that or not. Anybody got any comments from the floor, concerns, or things they'd like to hash over with the town board? Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Very good. Any things you'd like to address with the town board tonight, or concerns, or?
No, I'm just here for college.
Oh, congratulations. I'm glad to come every first Tuesday of the month and the third Wednesday. So what class do you like? Kind of a government class or?
Oh, no, I'm getting my master's and PhD in social work. Oh. You all
know. Oh, that's where I went.
Really?
Yeah, bachelor's in social work. This close to master's, and then I started having children.
Oh. I know children, that's why I'm here.
That's another bit. And what's your name? What you?
Sylvia Chestnut.
Sylvia Chestnut. Okay. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you for everybody. It's Patrick McCullough, Jared Giordano, I'm Dale Finch, Paul Bosberg, and Dawn Scampico. And to your left, Casco resident Joe Wizzo. Long time. He wrote the book on some of the government issues in the town of Casco. So he's a historian of all that.
I don't want to keep you here long, but I have a bunch of questions.
Sure.
Let me start off with, who's the acting county? Could you tell me who?
I asked Pat the same question.
Yeah. So what's the? I don't know. I don't know the question. So what's the question first?
Who is it?
Who is it?
Tammy Scavillo.
Who?
Tammy Scavillo.
She's not the county clerk, though. She's the clerk of the legislature.
The acting clerk of the legislature.
No, yep. But it says county clerk.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's a typo.
Yeah, I'm like, I read this today, and I called somebody and said, what happened to Maryland?
You should change that.
Yeah, she's the clerk of the legislature.
Green County acting clerk. She's the acting clerk of the legislature.
Yeah. Marilyn Farrell is the county clerk.
Yeah, but this is acting clerk.
Of the county legislature,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, not the clerk of the county.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know that's. I read that too. And I'm like, what happened to Maryland?
That's a pop around me.
Can you tell me what made up the $24,000 in real property tax chargebacks and erroneous assessments? Can you tell me what that? They usually send you something that tells you exactly what you're being charged back for. Some of it's college chargeback, but that's no longer.
No, we don't have the college chargebacks.
College chargebacks.
Probably. Get any information on that, Liz?
It's probably election stuff, right?
Okay. No, all it just has is our amount.
That's $24,000 for elections.
I'll look into it.
Unless they're election chargebacks, and that's for the process of doing the elections in the senior center.
Right.
But
it says election chargebacks.
That's the
election charge.
Election office.
Real property tax and real property charge tax.
Yeah, and erroneous assessments. I was just curious as to.
I know they did a resolution the other night. Well, not the other night. At the last legislative meeting, and there was a breakdown for real property tax. I think ours was like $1,500 or something.
Yeah, the election chargeback shouldn't be that much.
And we ask them every year for a breakdown.
Well, they're supposed to send you a list.
I know, but they can't give you a breakdown on what the cost of everything is.
No. What I'm saying to you is they should be sending you a list saying what is the election chargeback, so much money.
Right.
What is the real property tax chargebacks and erroneous assessments?
Oh, I agree with you. And like we've asked them,
they don't I'll get a breakdown.
You should be asking the treasurer's office, and you also should be asking me about
Got a question. We're trying to find out the.
I know that, but your tax collector should know that number. Your tax collector should have that information. You should be talking to him about it.
Yeah.
He should know it. Okay, that's that one. And then, in regards to the. Joint fire protection contract. Are you a member of the Leeds Fire Company?
I'm a life member of Leeds Fire Department.
Are you a member of the Leeds Fire? Are you an active member?
I'm not an active member.
Should you be part of the?
Per my town attorney, he didn't think there was a problem with that, but I mean, I'm going to when it comes to voting, I'm like.
You shouldn't be involved at all in the contract negotiation.
I'm going to abstain from
this. Is that that a conflict of interest? Just asking.
I feel that you could be in a town and everybody can have a...
I've been in the same situation. I'm just asking you the question.
I think I would abstain from voting on that particular contract, but that would be my answer to that.
Okay. I
am a life member of these.
Do you answer calls?
No.
Okay. No. I'm asking you a question that somebody may end up answering.
I can tell you this, I have no turnout here. I don't have a monitor. I haven't had a monitor turned on in probably 20 some years.
That's fine.
So I'm more interested in doing the right thing and getting the right thing for the taxpayers out there.
Do you have the tentative amount that it's going to cost the Leeds Fire District for those amounts? Because it's a special charge just for that Leeds Fire District. It's not a townwide charge. It's only a charge of the fire protection district.
We don't get that together.
Because we don't have a solid number yet.
No, but at a public hearing, you should know what.
We have those numbers. Definitely.
All you have to do is run the assessed value against the amount, and it'll tell you the number.
Yeah, we can just throw that into our spreadsheets, and that number comes up. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. Some of those numbers on a $100,000 house, I think it's like in around $50-$60 increase it would be for somebody.
That's a big number for your
right.
Because I mean, for those individuals that live in that fire district,
yeah.
Especially when they're getting hit with the sewer charge on it.
Yeah, right.
So I just was curious as to what that number may be. When will the budget be available for review?
Should
after
be available
after your board meetings, after you accept the budget as a tentative budget?
This should be for review now, correct?
It was presented to the board, so it'll be on the web. You can look at it anytime you want.
Okay.
Normal
this
business hours.
Is available right now.
Did we post it on the webpage or not?
Not yet, because it wasn't presented to the board.
Tomorrow,
this will be on the town webpage for review, and anybody can come into the town clerk's office and review it.
And
what's your question?
Let's see. What was the solicitation from the barge for? What do they want to do?
They would like to do some engineering work for us, help,
roads, bridges.
Roads, bridges, anything that you would like them to investigate, they would be, amongst other vendors that.
Is that Champlain Hudson Power Express, is that the gas line that wants to go down?
Electric line.
That's the electric line that's starting in Quebec, Hydro Power. It's coming all the way from
Most
of it's going to be in the Hudson Riverbed, but through this area, it's going to follow the CSX rail lines. cement, and then it's going to somewhere in the Browns Crossing area where it starts in Catskill, and it's going to go all the way down to the cement, down by Alford Road, and then from it. Don't hold me strictly to that, but somewhere near Alford Road, it's going to go into the riverbed. So we have the most above ground line buried, I think, in the possibly in the project, but definitely in the county, we have the most mileage of that particular power line.
Are they paying you anything for putting that power line?
We do pilot. Absolutely. And I think tentative, what I mean, but tentative, which I think that's out there online too. But our pilot, if everything works the way we love it to work, is without having any front back, I'm going to tell
that,
you.
I
think it's $250,000. We'll have to come. And
we'll
tell you.
We'll find out what it is. Don't worry.
I'm just honest thinking, that's about $250,000 a year if that pilot comes our way.
Yeah, the town and village will get it.
And they have.
And there's a special fee for the fire department,
right,
too. So,
right.
No, but I'm saying.
But there's more money included.
Right.
And that's fire district is at Catskills. And they got the, and then their job, I think it's a 30-year deal, and then they got escalators every year. So it's really a great benefit if this really, you know,
right,
comes all the way through. It's going to be a great thing for our communities, and especially Catskill.
Can we talk about marijuana?
Sure.
What are you going to do?
We're going to have a public meeting, and we're going to get input from our residents to see what their pulse is about marijuana. As a town board, we'll make a decision.
What do the members think about it, at least initially? I know your opinions can change based on the.
I'm a guess.
I guess the question is, how much revenue do you anticipate?
Not a lot.
How much revenue would you anticipate from your sale of marijuana?
Not a lot, because the village has already opted in. It's two separate entities.
I know.
Well, I think.
So
I think,
if you have a dispensary in the village, right, where are you going to put one in the town?
Can I roll the two ways?
Well, I think, Joe, I think the bigger picture, first of all, well, the answer to that,
wherever you put it, I'll express my opinion. I think you should have it.
Okay.
I think to not take advantage of the opportunity to generate revenue. Whatever, however that may be, I don't think you should have a place where people would smoke it. I think it would be just a dispensing place, not a place where somebody would come in.
So you think we should sell marijuana in Castle and not have a high-end lounge?
No, but no lounge, is just sell it.
Aren't they hand in hand though?
No, you're gonna have to have a dispensary within your town. And there's also another option where you can have dispensaries and you can have, you know, like a lounge type of thing. I don't know how that will work.
I think the dispensary would be fine. I'm not sure whether I would agree to having a lounge.
Well, I think, I've talked to other communities that have lounges.
Yeah.
They're planning on having a lounge. So they're viewing it as a high-end cigar shop. So, that, you know, some people, we're at River Town.
You can't sell cigars. Only marijuana.
You know, I was talking to somebody, Joe, and he said,
yeah, but
I don't know how this is going to work for alcohol sales.
How
can you smoke marijuana in a building when you can't smoke a cigarette in a building?
You'll be able to smoke marijuana on the street. You do it now.
I know, but I'm saying, though, in a lounge, right, you can't smoke in a public or any facility. So how are you going to have a smoking lounge?
I'm not saying you have a smoking lounge.
So anyway,
I'm saying the state says
a lot of towns that would be contributing. There's a lot of towns in that area are just going for the selling.
Right.
So
I understand, but I'm just saying, on perspective of a no smoking policy that the state has adopted, how can you allow smoking of marijuana in the building but not smoking of a cigarette in the building?
I don't know. I can't answer.
So anyway, PERMA, because I brought this down in Turning Stones, it's our insurance company, October 28th and 29th, they're having a full educational conference out of Turning Stones.
Yeah. When does it work?
You got it by the end of the year.
If
you stay silent on the issue, then you want to, you're in. So if no action, you're in.
So you actually have to vote.
against it.
Yeah.
Right. If you if you're silent, you automatically.
So what do you opt in for? If you're silent, do you also opt in for the line?
You got the whole project. I think you got the whole $1 million. But anyway, if anybody who's interested on the board, you brought the turning stones on Tuesday. I mean, on Thursday the 29th, and we had quite a few speakers out there talking about marijuana. But I think it's a, you know, Joe, I mean, just to your original point, then probably move on. What you're saying about revenue, I mean, you had an article, I don't know if it was in the Times Union or the Daily Mail. Anybody been talking about, Massachusetts and the revenue that they generated. And it was significant, and at the same time, it may not have been significant. They're the only, right now, you got people from Catskill, you got people from Albany, Poughkeepsie. Everybody's taking the day trip. They're going over to Great Barrington. I think that's where it is. I'm not sure. Stockbridge, Great Barrington. So everybody's buying there. And then if all of a sudden you have a dispensary or two in Albany, you got one, two, or three in Greene County, you got it in Ulster County, then it becomes just like going up to Bureau World and buying a six-pack. So it's hard to just, you know, if you do $1 million,
that's
you get 30,000.
But which the point I'm making, it doesn't matter. It's revenue. If it's $100, if it's $2,000, if it's $10,000, it's money that comes in to help you as representative to offset county funds. Now you could take that money and say, okay, that money can be reserved for a specific purpose. It could be used for the ambulance service, it could be used for something else. You can dedicate that money to
a specific
fund. So, I mean, why would you not think about that possibility? And then when in the first year, or maybe this, actually not the first year, probably the second year, you'll probably get a handle on how much that is. And somebody's going to have to make money off of this. Now, if no vendor in the town of Catskill can make any money off this, then you're not going to have a vendor.
Right.
But,
that's correct.
But as long as you have the ability to do that,
the cost to buy the permit is astronomical. Just to get the permit.
So I mean, you may not even have a vendor.
Right. We might not have. Right. I mean, nobody's come out to say, yeah, we want to put a dispensary. Yeah. But I've got a touchy feely, very vague conversation with a few people that roll up. So I think there's a little bit of interest.
But you can't close your mind. You know, the problem is you can't close your mind to the ability for the town to generate revenue if, in fact, it's now a legal source of revenue. And
you're saying you don't need to dry town.
The way things are going now, you know, your ability to generate revenue is shrinking.
Right,
it's limited. And so when you have the opportunity to do something, then I think the board should obviously take a hard look at it and make a decision.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely take a hard look at what we really want to, and everybody's going to have a little different slant on those issues. And I think, again, hearing from a broad section of the public is the right thing to do. I think just never move on, but I think the other part of this is, if Catskill decides to sell or not sell, the product and probably most of the social issues that go along with it, good or bad, are going to be in Catskill. So
it's
going to be in Catskill.
The product is here now.
Right.
It doesn't.
Right. I mean, hopefully you get a better product where you don't have fentanyl in it, and you can have a cleaner product so people aren't getting into these overdose situations. So, I mean, that's the upside of it, that it's regulated and people get a better product. Now, on the other side, we've got Twin Counties, I mean, and all these other places that are trying to help people that have addiction problems. But again, it's a complicated
there's not a you have a moral issue. So.
Exactly. So, anyway, I think we.
Anyway,
we
don't have to. Well, and that's my opinion. And I'll say so with the public here.
Okay.
If you have a public.
Which is a big deal.
The other thing is, how much money do you anticipate from any federal COVID? Or is that all going to the county?
I believe we got roughly 320 to, yes. Actually, we have 380, to be exact. I got a copy of that check for what your purpose is. Just we have $384,071.79.
And that's just a one-time payment?
No, that's 50% of the payment. Sometime in 2022, we should
have. And what are the
infrastructures and things like that? And what we're, the first thing that I would like to do, which most people will do, right now it's on the liability on our books. So like all the revenue that we didn't get in, say, ambulance billing because of COVID, all the revenue shortfalls that we didn't get in courts because of COVID and there was no vehicle in traffic. Then possibly you look at the rescue, senior centers. All your revenue losses.
Are you using that money in this budget?
No. Or not yet, no. It's not, none of that money is reflected in that budget. What we will do, though, or I would think we're going to do, is take the money that's owed for shortfalls, and that money would become fund balance in the designated funds where that money was lost. So if you had a $100,000 loss, as an example, in the A funds, maybe it was ambulance revenue, we would be able to replenish that money that we had.
That's going to affect your budget.
Well, not if we keep it in fund balance. It's only going to affect your budget.
Why would you want to keep it in fund balance? Are you going to add that to your tax, to reduce the tax rate?
Well, you could use some of that for fund balance if you wanted to. Again,
you're gonna have to take money out of fund balance to adjust your tax rate.
Right, but so if you're reading some of the regulations in this decision,
there's a lot of strings attached to your tax rate.
I'm sorry.
There's a lot of strings
attached. You can't use it to offset a tax rate. You, in other words, you can use it to offset a prior loss. You cannot take money from that ARPA money and say, I just want to apply it to the town budget so you keep taxes lower. That's a no-no. It's not designed to do that. It's designed to spend money to stimulate the economy, help infrastructure, and make your people, you know, if they don't want you to hoard the money. The only money that you can put away is the money that you actually lost, that you had to go in. You know, many communities had to go in reserve funds during COVID just so they can pay employees. So now they're saying, let's bring your reserve funds back to a healthy balance the way they were at the beginning of 2020.
Well, that doesn't make any, that doesn't make any sense.
Well,
because the reserve fund, the fund balance is there to offset tax increases. So let's use this for an example. If you put $300,000 in fund balance, mm-hmm. and you're looking at the ambulance line, mm-hmm. okay, and you have revenue and expenses, mm-hmm. you can use that money to offset the expenses,
yep.
because that's a loss related to prior year. So that can affect the tax rate.
If the town board decides that they want to use a certain amount of that money to offset taxes, that's something that we look at when we go through.
Another way to look at it is
to make the ambulance whole again. Because it took such a loss, so that money can be used to make the ambulance whole again.
Which is the same thing.
You just can't use that word to offset taxes.
Right.
No, you're not offsetting taxes. In this year's budget, you are seeing the effect of last year's operations because of COVID. So, and in fact, you're seeing the loss of COVID in this year, reflected in this year's budget, because the ambulance is going to come in with less revenue, but the expenses are going to be the same. So, in order for you to take, you can use that COVID money and offset that loss of revenue in the current year's budget. You can increase your revenue in the current year budget, which will then reduce the tax rate. But you're not using it to reduce the tax rate. Technically, maybe yes,
right.
But the fact of the matter is, you're using it to offset COVID costs.
Right.
Now, and that's the only way you could do it. You can't take the money and put it in fund balance. You can take the money and say, okay, I want to take that $300,000 and I want to put that into a reserve, an ambulance reserve fund for equipment, for a new ambulance, because that would offset the wear and tear on purchasing a new ambulance. But that also affects taxes. So when they say it doesn't affect taxes, that's bullshit. The fact of the matter is, you have to be creative when you're using that money, and if it can only be used for COVID purposes, the only place you can use it for it is the ambulance service. Or the senior center, which was used
for... And it's lost revenue. You can use it to offset lost revenue due to COVID.
But what lost revenue do you have due to COVID other than the ambulance service?
Court. There wasn't any vehicle in traffic out there. Nobody was traveling.
Yeah, but how can you prove that was related to COVID?
Easily. I can show them what I did in 2019.
Then you can offset your debt. You can offset those two court expenses then.
Yeah, I got.
I mean, I think we can't just discount it right. And say, I can't do it.
No, I don't ever.
I mean, you're going to look at a budget this year, and you've got $300,000 sitting there. The question I'm going to ask you is, why aren't you using it? And don't tell me it's because I can't use it to offset taxes, because that's the only way you could use it. You can't use it for anything else, unless you want to reserve for equipment for the court or equipment for the ambulance service. It's the only way you're going to be able to use it. And that will offset taxes. It will offset taxes, but at least you can buy a truck out of the reserve fund. So I don't want to hear this, personally, I don't want to hear this, well, we can't use it to reduce taxes. I think you need to get a hold of an attorney, a good attorney, and not the town attorney, a good attorney that's in those areas of what you can really use those COVID monies.
We got resources that you use, like the associations of towns, NICOM people. You know, they have a good handle on you know, the do's and don'ts. And
because if your town, I don't know what the tax increase or decrease is in the town budget, but if you're sitting there with $300,000, don't tell the town residents, by the way, your town taxes are going up 10 or 15%. But we got this $300,000 there. That doesn't make sense.
I can assure you that the town board will do their due diligence.
I'm sure the town board will.
Right.
But the town board has to be ready for questions like this when you come to the public hearing. And I don't want the town board to be sitting at a public hearing saying, you should have an answer before you get to that public hearing. The other question I have is, where do you stand with the ambulance sign? I'm going to go out and tear that thing down.
You know what? What are you doing at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning?
I'll
climb it. I did ask.
I can tell you, we got vendors, and I did stop at one vendor personally, I stopped at this person's business and I said, hey, I need a price on it. They tell me, Dwan's on the committee, Patrick's on the committee, George is looking at it. I mean, it's just difficult to get people to get this stuff done.
You remind me of trying to pass the debt cap. All we're doing is talking about it and we're not doing anything. I've been here for 4 meetings ago. You decided, let's do something about the ambulance line. Oh, we'll get vendors. And now you're still sitting here telling me, oh, by the way, we got to look at vendors. Now, how hard is it to put a sign up on a building?
Well, putting the sign up is easy.
Did you put out an RFP, request for proposal?
We contacted 3 or 4. We got one pricing list, correct? From one vendor.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And then go ahead.
What ambulance are we talking about?
Rescue Squad on West Bridge Street. The sign's kind of ugly over there.
Has a sign looked like it was made in a junkyard somewhere down there.
It's faded and it's not exactly.
The colors aren't in it anymore.
For the biggest ambulance service in the whole county, that sign looks like you took it out of the junkyard and put it up there.
that's one of
been up there for 20
Louis
years.
O'Connor's.
Louis O'Connor's. I mean, that doesn't fit any sign. It doesn't have to be fantastic either. You know, it doesn't have
not
to
saying,
be.
Not saying, but
something
should be maintained.
We,
can you imagine?
There should always be money in the budget to maintain the building. There should always be money for that.
Well, anyway, so
the sign, I mean,
so the answer is you're working on it.
I'm with you 110%. It's,
I'm coming back at your work session and ask the same question, so just be prepared.
I'll give you whatever.
I'm going to do a blog on that whole thing.
Okay.
And the other question is, where do you stand with a new code and a code system to do assessments? They were supposed to get new software. Because the old software, and
if you look in the budget, there's $49,000 in this year's budget, which we didn't have in 2019. The software that you were talking about that was wanting to be purchased back in 2019 at the end of the year was a $40,000 expenditure. We had $34,000. And I'll be honest with you, I'm thankful as the day is long that we didn't buy it, we went into COVID, and I wasn't going to spend money we didn't have. So anyway, long story short, it's in this budget, and we got, and we don't like the word vendor, but our code officer, Mac Carlisle, he's got three vendors, and he plans on moving forward with demonstrations on those, and then he finds the right
software. Where is that money coming from?
Where is that coming from?
Well, exactly. You said you didn't have the money in the prior year.
Well,
so now you have money this year.
We do.
So why didn't you do it in prior year if you have the money?
Because we didn't have the money.
That doesn't sound logical.
Logical? I read numbers.
You didn't want to raise the tax rate, but you didn't want to do.
No, that's not. I'm not going to debate. If we want to talk about budget, why don't we hold all these? These are budget meeting conversations and not general.
No, they're not. They're meetings for general public. This is a board meeting.
What?
You can discuss anything at a board meeting. I'm discussing things that have been sitting on the burner for probably a year or 2 years, and nothing's been done about it. Now, obviously, you're starting to do something. That's fine.
What I'm saying is it's in this year's budget.
What kind of pay increase do you anticipate, or can you say?
Say what?
Pay increase for who?
For your employees. I know you have union contractors, you have employees that don't belong to a union.
Right, I believe they're projected in the tentative budget.
With 2.25.
Is that for everybody?
That's not been determined.
But that doesn't affect union employees.
Not union, I'm talking about the board. The board is not getting a pay increase.
I don't know that.
But you haven't decided.
We haven't decided on compensation packages for the town employees.
The only reason I'm saying is because the cost of living index is going to be probably 4%, 4 or 5%. So if you hold your non-union employees to union contracts, that's okay, but they're negotiated. But with your employees who don't have union contracts, you know, you have to realize that you may have to go a little higher. Because I don't want to, if the cost of living is going up 4%, 5% this year, and you're only giving 2% or 2.5% pay raise, they're falling behind 2.5% already. And so I just encourage the board to look at that as a guide to when you're looking at the salary increases for non-union employees. On the union employees, they're negotiated, they accepted what the union or the union negotiated and accepted it. So I just want to make sure that you keep pace, at least with people who can't negotiate, keep pace with at least the consumer price index. I mean, sometimes you can't do it because you don't have the money. Like COVID. You know, sometimes you don't have the money. So, anyway, I'll be facetious.
needs to have remained in the minutes of the board meeting so that if somebody checks to make sure that she was here, she has documentation.
We asked
it's all on public record.
Because somebody may say, were you really there?
Oh.
You know, I know.
If my professor has that much time on her hands.
Listen, let me tell you.
Okay,
anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
everybody.
Motion to go to executive session for the town clerk to discuss contract and pay issues.
Second.
Aye.